Blog Talk Radio.
If man is the father of the sun, is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe, then why is his verse coming 6 times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much while I write him like such.
Word.
Amongst the beings controlled by the screen, what does it all mean, all this I'm seeing? You being screaming vocal javelin, line of a local unraveling. My wandering got my wondering, with crisis and all this crisis, Hitler Satan never knew what nice is. Check the papers, well I've been on ice. More than your eye can see and ears can hear, year by year all the sense disappears. Nonsense perseveres, prayers linked with fear, beware, two triple O's.
It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but damn the game, if it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game, I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something, but the game, if it ain't saying nothing.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Serial Quinn Review, whatever you want to call it, on this Thursday, December 8th, 2011. Forget about the NFL. Who cares about the damn Steelers and Browns? Everybody knows who's going to win. Forget about Tim Tebow. Forget about Albert Pujols. And it's $254 million. Who cares? It is all about the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Why am I so hyped? Well, you know, this is what sports does to you when a big trade happens for your particular team, when you have your whole night planned ahead, and then this happens. People, I had no inkling whatsoever that this was going to happen tonight. I came home, been a long week, very long week, to say the least. Not a bad week, just a long week. Working a lot of hours, you know, average sleep time about 3.5-4 hours a night this week. I was going to come home, got home about 7, which is early for me, trust me. Put some dinner on, do some laundry, clean up the house a little bit, and I was going to be in the bed by 10 o'clock. That was the plan. That was the plan. Be in the bed by 10 o'clock. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Come on. It's not going to happen. And then this happens. The TV wasn't even on, folks. People, the TV came in, started cleaning stuff up. I didn't turn the TV on. Big trade, so NBA trade. I say, okay, you know, something small. Hadn't heard on it. Phone is half broke. Only time I can use my phone now is when I'm charging it. So that's another issue. So I wasn't able to check over the wire, ESPN, or, you know, on my way home through my cell phone. The phone is on its way out, if you care to know, which you probably didn't, but I had to tell you anyway. Get on ESPN, check ESPN. And it said CP3 to the Lakers. And I said, what? Huh? Three-way trade. This is what it said. And, you know, it took a while for everything to process, to be honest with you. It took a while for everything to process. Now, hopefully, over the course of this, before this, our hour is up, we'll get a couple guests on, a couple buddies of mine, big NBA fans, and you know, see what their thoughts are. Neither one of them are Laker fans, which is good, because you couldn't have, like, I mean, to deal with me right now is enough. I mean, I'm being real extra right now, So you need a balance. You need a Boston Celtic fan, and you need a New York Knicks fan, both who thought they had a shot to get CP3. Well, really not Boston, but the Knicks certainly thought they had a chance. But, you know, it is what it is. My initial thoughts on the trade is the Lakers aren't done. look at this roster. They get rid of Odom. They get rid of Gasol. And, you know, they don't have any size. I mean, outside of Andrew Bynum, you know, you're talking about their character as the only power forward on the team. You trade basically 2 7-footers. And this, listen, I don't know, you know, Dwight Howard possibly, but this is the beginning of something with the Lakers. It's not, the Lakers are not done. They will not, I guarantee you, on December 8th, they are not going until they will not go to Christmas Day against the Chicago Bulls with this lineup. I guarantee you, I would be willing to bet a lot of money, not all my money, I'm willing to bet a significant amount of money on that. I'll bet my DVD on that, DVD play on that. How about that? They will not go into the season with this lineup or with this roster. They just won't. They don't have any size. So I think this, you know, this is something that the Lakers are doing that's a part of a, you know, a bigger, even bigger picture for the Lakers. I told you, and I was going to speak on it on my show on the Saturday morning wake-up call, and, you know, and our people thought I was joking. I wasn't joking, that the Lakers were going to get Chris Paul and Dwight Howard. They were going to get both of them. When I first heard about this a couple of weeks ago over CBS.com, I said, you know what, they're going to do it. Because this is what the Lakers do. I mean, the Lakers, you know, over the course of their long history, have make the big splash. And usually, based on 17 championships, it turns out in their favor. You know, they get Will Chamberlain. They get Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They get Shaq, you know. They draft and trade, you know, they do the draft they do for Kobe Bryant, Lai, D-Vac. Though they're, you know, Lakers had some help with that. Like Kobe refusing to play for New Jersey. That didn't hurt. But this is what they do. This is what they do. I mean, they, you know, James Worthy. Somehow get Magic Johnson when you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar already on the team. I'm still trying to figure out how they did that. I mean, geez, totally different system than what it did. I mean, that would never happen in today's NBA, but, you know, that, you know, they, this is what they do. So when I first heard that they were, you know, possibly going after both of these guys, because, I mean, we knew about Howard. I mean, Howard has been rumored with the Lakers, you know, for the better part of a year and a half. That you know, we knew about that. But for them to be rumored, for Chris Paul to join that mix, with Howard possibly coming to the Lakers. So you know what? It's going to happen. And it kind of messed up my segment for tomorrow, which I'm happy about, because I was going to tell you, I was going to give you all the reasons why this was going to happen. Now, I'm still going to give you that on my show. Those of you who don't get a chance to listen to tonight's show, I'll give you that on Saturday's show. But, you know, Chris Paul, number one choice, were the Knicks. And I didn't think that was going to happen, because I didn't think the Knicks would be willing to give up either Carmelo Anthony or Amari Stoudemire. And that was the only way the Knicks were going to ever land Chris Paul. That's all there is to it. So that was not going to happen. That was not going to happen, because they were not willing to part with one of those players. And, you know, and I told my cousin, I said, you know what? Well, I told a friend of mine, I said, you know what? They should try, you know, trade Carmelo for Chris Paul. Trade Carmelo for Chris Paul. Why not? Why not? If I were the Knicks, why not? But they were not willing to do that. These other teams, I mean, the Clippers have a lot of young pieces. The Portland Trailblazers have some pieces. Dallas has some pieces. Golden State certainly has some pieces. Bill Simmons had Golden State as the number one contender for getting Chris Paul. I believe for getting Chris Paul. Boston really didn't have anybody. But the reason why Chris Paul is a Laker is, number one, obviously the Lakers had the assets. You're getting an all-star caliber. You're getting an all-star in Paul Gasol. I know he was bad in the playoffs, but the guy is, you know, he is a legit top 15 player, top 10, top 15 player. When he's on his game, when his mind, when he's into it, which he has been. Like, he's won 2 championships with him. And you have Lamar Odom, who we all know, you know, there are nights when he could be the best player on the floor. And I don't care who's on the floor. There are nights when Lamar Odom can look like the best player on the floor. There are also nights when Lamar Odom, you don't even know Lamar Odom, ever suit up for your team. So you get that, you know, the Lakers had to deal with that, but hey, they won two championships with him. So the Lakers had the pieces. They had the star power with Kobe Bryant, who Paul loves, and, you know, who Paul loves. And they had the tradition, like the Yankees, like the Green Bay Packers, Steelers, had that tradition where players want to play for their organization. Players want to, you know, live in Hollywood. Players see opportunities in terms of marketing, in terms of movies. And, you know, it's just, it's all there is to it. I mean, there's no secret to why the Lakers have gotten all these stars over the course of their history. I mean, it's Hollywood. It's L.A., it's Hollywood. When we return, just getting started here on this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call Cyril Quinn Review on this Thursday, December 8th, 2011. We'll talk about what this trade means to the landscape of the NBA, where do the Lakers go from here, and we'll talk about the other teams, because the Lakers were not the only team to get a player here. Thought New Orleans acquitted themselves well. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this special edition of the Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
You have reached the Sprint voice mailbox of 41321.
My cousin Chad Quinn, big NBA fan, New York Knicks
huge,
fan.
Huge.
Hugely, yeah. Me and Saj, huge Knicks fan.
Yes.
Went through with the Knicks when they were, you know, when they weren't doing so well, and stuck with them. One of the few Knicks fans to stick with the Knicks, so he deserves some credit for that.
Thank you, appreciate it.
What do you think? I was, you know, I did an opening, gave some thoughts on the trade. Don't think the Lakers are done with this. What are your thoughts when you first heard the trade?
We're referring to the Lakers trade, correct?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it was a no-brainer. It's actually a deal that I think is fair for all parties involved, to a certain degree, as much as it can be fair, but the idea of having Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant in the backcourt, and you still have Bynum. You know, I think it's just something that you had to do. As much as I like Pau Gasol, we saw how soft he was last year when he did come through. So I think that the Lakers, the biggest problem they were having was at the point guard position. You know, you got he was battling Chris Paul, they had Westbrook, you know, they got all these quick and bigger point guards. And Derek Fisher, it allows him, if they decide to keep him, you know, to come off the bench. I just think that it's going to be interesting because Kobe has never played with a point guard of this magnitude. And I think it would just give Kobe a couple more years. So I like the deal for the Lakers. I like it for the Hornets because they still get something in return. It's a little difficult, you know, I understand they had to give Odom, but I would have did it myself. If you're the GM, you got to take that deal. You got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's talk about that aspect. I mean, before we talk about possible pitfalls with the deal, talk about that aspect in terms of what the other teams got. Houston, of course, got Gasol. New Orleans really, I thought, did well. Got Lewis Scola from Houston, Kevin Martin from Houston, Goran Dragic, and a first round pick for 2012. So, you know, all things considered, New Orleans, you know, Scola's a double-double. Martin's a 20-point-per-game scorer. He can't play D, but still the 28th game. Thought New Orleans, I mean, you know, you're never going to get fair. You're never going to get equal value for a player of Chris Paul's caliber. It's just almost impossible. Considering the fact that they had to make a move, I thought they did pretty well. I've seen worse.
I could agree more. And actually, even as you're talking about the pieces in the trade, we really got to go back to just the execution. I think it was brilliant of the GMs for New Orleans not getting caught up into like a Melo type saga. You know, they didn't let this linger all to the trade deadline. They said, look, he don't want to be here. We know he's not going to sign. So let's not waste time. And, they fielded a whole bunch of different offers. But this is by far the best offer I heard regarding Chris Paul and what they can get in return. So I hope that, you know, the Magic are listening. And they could do something similar because we don't want to hear about Dwight Howard the whole season. Everyone knows he's not re-signing with Orlando. But anyway, same with the Lakers trade. I just think, like you said, it was a great deal. New Orleans made over two. Houston made over since they got rid of a lot of money. And I'm hearing now that now they really want to entertain maybe sending a max contract, offering a max contract to Marc Gasol or even Nene. So still a lot of things that can happen where I think all three of these teams will come out better than they were.
Yeah, I think all three teams came out pretty well. You know, if Houston can go out there and, you know, if they can get a Marc Gasol, that would be huge. I mean, playing with his brother, he's a center. They complement each other very well.
Right.
Or they don't have to go. I mean, Houston's not expected to win this year. They can, you know.
Well, they have money because they have flexibility, I guess.
Yeah. They could possibly make some other moves. And, of course, New Orleans now is rebuilding. I mean, they get Odom. Odom has a great contract because he only has, like, a year or two left. At about, what, $8 to $10 million, somewhere in that range. I think it's about $10 to $12 million. It's a good contract considering his skill set and what he does.
So do you now consider the Lakers a favorite to come out the West or to win it all?
That's the thing. No, but that's the thing. This team, as currently constructed right now, I would say no. They don't have a size. They don't have any size. They have no size. They have one. Other than Bynum, they don't have any. They have their characters, their power forward.
Right.
That's why I say I told the audience in the opening, they're not done. I said they will not have this roster as currently constructed on December 25th when they play the Bulls. I don't believe it.
I agree. I agree with that. I think that there's a lot of power forwards that are out there that they would need in that situation. So hold on one second. I'm hoping that, like you said, I don't believe they're done. I read somewhere that this deal won't even be official come tomorrow. So Chris Paul still will report to New Orleans training camp. But like you said, the Lakers, they're a smart team. They know that Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant, as good as that sounds, Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant and Bynum is not guaranteed to win a championship or even come out the West. So it's just going to be a very interesting free agency, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think that they, and I really, and I said this, you know, this past week on Facebook, I said, and I told people, I said, they're going to get, I believe, once the rumor came out about Paul and Howard, we already know for a long time, that basically a year and a half, that the Lakers were going after Howard and going hard. When the rumor came out about Paul as well, I said, you know what, they're going to get both of them. I said, I believe, even as being objectively, I believe they're going to get both of them.
So you still think that's going to happen?
Oh, I think it's definitely going to happen. I think from the standpoint that, you know, Bynum is a risk for, you know, Orlando, But the bottom line is he wants to play in L.A., and he wants to, you know, he wants to go along that line of the great Lakers centers. You know, when somebody wants to play for the Clippers and wants to sign a long-term contract with the Clippers, I believe it when I see it. I know the Clippers have some great pieces. They're up and coming, but they're still the Clippers, and they still have that, you know, they're still the stepbrother for the Los Angeles Lakers. They're still, you know, in the Lakers' shadow. They're still the Clippers.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's kind of like the Detroit Lions. Like, they're trying to change the image, but you got to make the playoffs first. And I think once you get past the personnel, is what the personnel do. If the Clippers are good enough to make the playoffs this year, next free agency, you'll have a lot more players looking harder and longer. I just don't, kind of like with the Nets, too. It's like no one really wants to be the first to say, okay, let's do this. So, like you said, Dwight Howard wants to go to L.A. I mean, you offer Bynum, Artest, you take back that Turkoglu bad contract, and it does get interesting. It definitely gets interesting.
You bring up a good point with that. That's another reason why I think he would that the Lakers have an advantage. There are not too many teams with this new CBA that will be willing to take back Turkoglu's contract.
Right. I mean, I think it really comes down to you take what you can get. You take what you can get. You're not going to get too many situations with this new CBA or even with the teams that Denver found himself in with just a plethora of talent and players that the Knicks offered up. You know, you got to get the best deal. And although the team has the power in a sense, they have to work with the player because the player has the power just to say, I'm not going to sign an extension. And I think that's
absolutely.
That whole
the team does not.
Chris Paul quickly.
Oh, absolutely. The team has become basically the player has the power. I mean, it absolutely has become that because when you're in a situation where a guy is going to become a free agent, you know, in that following summer, the player, especially in this economic times with the NBA, the player absolutely has the power. If Chris Paul or Howard had 4 years left on the contract or 3 years, then the team like, look, you know, you're going to be committed for 3 years to this place, so, you know, unless you could just, I mean, you can't do anything. You have really no choice. But when a player is a free agent, no team is going to play, you know, no team is going to do a rent a player in the NBA and give up like good pieces and have that player not re-sign with him long term. I mean, Lakers don't do this deal. They don't think that Chris Paul is re-signing with him come summer 2012.
Right. No, I agree. I do agree. So let me ask you this. Would you, because you're saying that you believe Howard's coming, do you think it's going to happen before the trade deadline? I mean, not before the trade deadline, but before.
I believe this happens before Christmas. I believe this happens before Christmas. I think this is going to happen pretty quickly. I really do.
Okay. Are we going to talk about the Knicks tonight?
I said Knicks Tyson Chandler. I'm looking right now. Knicks Tyson Chandler.
Okay.
So that is close. From what I understand, that is very close to happening. What are your thoughts on that?
Like you said, it is not official. It is close to happening. It's you know, I have mixed feelings. I do. In picture perfect world, I want Tyson Chandler, Stoudemire, Melo, and Billups there. And I say and Billups because the only way we get Tyson Chandler is if we get rid of Billups for the money. So ultimately, do you have to do it? It's a no-brainer to me. I mean, I like Billups and everything, but defense wins championships. Stoudemire, as good as he played last year, he was worn down because he's not a true center. You saw what a true center could do, win your championship. I don't know what Dallas is thinking. I just like the idea of that front court with Melo, Stoudemire, Chandler. Mike Woodson is a defensive coach. I just think it's a lot of good things that could come from this. So, like I said, I like the deal. I am going to miss Billups, but, you know, he was already hurt last year. He's getting older. This is the nature of the business. I mean, I don't like that this would leave us without a starting point guard. But there's talks that we're looking at Jamal Tinsley. I know, you know, he's not a big name, but when you got the type of talent that we have now, you need someone that's serviceable. I mean, I would even look at Banner Davis once the Cleveland cuts him. Now, I know I'm jumping the gun, but just from a defensive standpoint, that impact, because people might forget this, but prior to the Melo trade, in the first half of the season, Stoudemire was averaging on 3 blocks. You know, he was playing defense, but he was just worn down. Like, the thought of Stoudemire battling against Boston's bigs, whether they're old or not, Chicago's bigs, Orlando with Dwight Howard as it stands, it just wasn't going to be fun. You know, so to move him to 4, it just makes it a lot more complicated to guard us. And, you know, as great as the defensive player Chandler is, he still does have enough offensive game to make it respectable, you know, to keep the defenses honest. So I like it. What do you take on it?
I love it for y'all. I mean, he changes the dynamic of your team. I mean, he makes you instantly better. Just moving Stoudemire to the 4 alone, like you mentioned, and really giving you a toughness and a grittiness that the Knicks have not had since, I mean, let's be honest, you know, Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley days. So he gives you that. He's won a championship. He's a leader. Still in his prime. And, you know, I love it. There's nothing not to love from a Knicks standpoint. I don't understand what Dallas is doing. I just can't see this being a money thing. I mean, do they know something that we don't as far as his health? I don't know. I don't know what Dallas is doing. Are they just satisfied with the one championship, looking towards the future? I don't get it. I don't know.
It's very confusing, like you said, because what I'm hearing is Dallas is trying to clear space for next year because D. Williams, the Texas guy, they want to go hard after him. But I would question maybe it was Chandler's health if it was just Chandler. But they're getting rid of Butler, J.J. Barea. I know these names aren't as big. However, this is you didn't even give you guys a chance to repeat. And the thing that's so perplexing to me is that Cuban never cares about spending money. So I just knew that if anybody was going from that dynasty, it wasn't going to be Chandler. You know, I'm already hearing that they're not even going to renegotiate an extension for Jason Terry. So I don't know. Maybe Cuban just wanted one ring. Maybe he just wanted the taste of it and said, all right, I'm tired of spending my money. Because that's what it comes across as. You know, he got what he wanted. If he doesn't win this year, he'll be fine with it. Because it seems like he's already conceding not trying to win this year. Because you can't tell me that he's thinking that there's a possibility now with Brent Haywood back in the starting lineup. It just baffled me. But like you said, as a Knicks fan, I love it because of that instant impact that he provides. And like I said, as much as I like Billups, it's too hard to get a good big man. And we don't need any more scoring. We need role players. And defensive-minded players. I want Shane Battier. I really want Grant Hill, and I'm hearing that we have a pretty good chance of that happening. So we can get him, then, you know, I'll put us right behind Miami to come out the East. If we get Grant Hill, and I know everybody laughs at me when I say Grant Hill, he's old, but they need to start doing drug tests and whatever because he looks real good right now. So anyway, I like the move.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you got to like the move. And getting Grant Hill would be a good move. Grant Hill obviously taking care of his body, you know, the thing about his injuries, you know, with all that time he's missed, that's actually helped him because he missed so many games that it took away from some of the wear and tear that he would have had. You know, if he had played in the majority of his games, he would be, you know, a Hall of Famer without question, but he'd be more likely to be retired by now at the age of 39. So you know, you could think of it from that standpoint. But, yeah, Grant Hill would be a good move. And, you know, Eastern Conference right now, you know, you guys would be right in the middle. I mean, we'd be right there, not in the middle. If you were to get him and Grant Hill, you know, I don't trust them. You know, Orlando obviously is not going to be anywhere near, you know, near the top. You know, I guess you had to, you know, the Bulls, I guess you had to put you guys behind the Bulls. I don't think you're as good as the Bulls.
Yeah, I disagree with that completely. I agree with everything else you said, but putting us behind the Bulls. As much as I like that, well, you know, I want to see what the Bulls do with the two-guard position. I do.
Well, they talked about Jason Richardson.
Right now, yeah. They get Jason Richardson. I agree with you because, like, the thing is, what I'm going off with the Knicks is just potential. And I can't, you know, what I see on, you know, the box score or whatever. But we saw what the Bulls did with their team. If they upgrade the Richardson, I give that to you. As far as Boston, I really think Danny Ainge did a terrible job about being so public with this wanting of Chris Paul. We already know that Rondo is very temperamental, and we saw how it hurt them emotionally last year when they got rid of Perkins. I just feel like they're almost going to have to get rid of Rondo. It just looks to me like it's going to end up ugly in Boston. But that's just my personal opinion about the situation. But they're getting older. You know, I don't even know if they're bringing back Big Baby Davis. You know, so Boston has a lot of even if they had the whole team, there's going to be nights where they got to play four games in a row. I think that already takes Boston out the running. I don't know if they're going to make it through the season. I don't know if they'll make it through the season.
No, I mean, I see Boston as a playoff team, and I see them as no better than, you know, they could lose in the first round, but no more than, you know, conference semifinals. I think, you know, at age has, you know, age is called when they're old. And if you're a Boston fan, you really can't complain. You've had a, you know, this is, think about it. I thought about this today. I'm like, this is their fifth year again. I'm like, damn. I'm like, this will be year five. I'm like, there's no way when they joined that in the summer 2008, I was thinking that it was going to be 2007, summer 2007. I think that they all thought about them being together for 5 years. I saw two or three at most. I was like, five.
Yeah. I applaud them for how long they've lasted. But it's kind of like the Spurs. Everybody said, you can't count the Spurs out until it happens. Well, you know what? Last year it happened. And I think that last year it happened to Boston, too. Like, that Miami game, it wasn't about LeBron so much exercising his demons. Boston got old, man. The one play I remember is when just Kevin Garnett trying to go up and just, it looked like LeBron jumped about 10 feet higher than him. It's like, they got old legs. They old. You know? They always going to have heart. They got a lot of mouth, but they old. And it's not like Rondo's that type of scoring point guard that can give them that offensive push. Now, I think Paul Pierce still has 2 years at best in him, you know, but am I looking at him to carry a team to, you know, to the second or third round? I mean, they could squeeze to the second round just because they defensive-minded, but I don't see them getting further than that.
I think Boston's finished. I mean, last year, you know, that was it. You know, they were, you know, that was it. It was time to transition, rebuild. You know, yeah, Danny Ainge never should have made that trade. The Kendrick Perkins trade looks worse and worse because, you know, now they're talking about possibly packaging Jeff Green and trying to get younger for maybe Andre Blas or somebody, a young, big frontline player. And it's like, you know, if you're trying to trade him now, what was the point of trading Kendrick Perkins? I mean, that just for that particular year. I mean, I know in the future, Perkins wanted to get paid, but you didn't have to trade him. He wasn't a free agent. You had him under contract. They really could have made a run towards the finals last year had they kept that together.
Cool. So let me ask you this, going back to the Lakers for a minute. Speaking hypothetically, and you're saying that Dwight Howard goes there, are you guys favored to win the championship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They have to, I mean, they would have to be the favorites to win the championship. And I think that I think big picture, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, that when you get Dwight Howard and get Chris Paul, you are strong at the two positions where the Heat are weak.
Right.
Point guard and center.
Yeah.
So that's a team you're going to be battling for years to come, even when Kobe's done. And that, you know, I think that they are looking towards that, possibly.
And you know, you bring up a very good point because that's why I like L.A., because they make moves that don't make common sense as far as just winning games. They're making moves to win championships. When the Lakers got humiliated by Boston, they said we're too small, you know, and they got bigger. They got bigger and everything. And now, like you said, you're looking at Miami. Miami's going to beat you with the speed and you know, just the athletic bodies. So Miami does, as good as they are, and they are really good, their Achilles heel would be that point guard position. I mean, you have, what, Bibby or Chalmers, well, and they're both still, you know, free agents. So that's going to be very interesting. That's going to be very interesting to see. Like I said, if you are to get Howard, you know, regardless, I think that I personally thought that Mike Brown got a terrible end of that stick with LeBron, and it seemed like he didn't know how to coach, but I want to give him a little more credit than most would give him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he deals with his Lakers team when it's all put together. You know, so we'll see how that works out.
The thing I like about Mike Brown, and, you know, it's going to be adjustment period, new system, lockout season, shortened season, you know, trying to manage the schedule and things of that nature. The thing I like about him, though, is he's been to the finals before, and he's coached not only a megastar, but a one of the biggest stars in the sport. So, you know, dealing with LeBron's ego, he's dealt with Kobe's ego, and Kobe, unlike LeBron, is about the basketball. He won't be worried about entourages. He won't be worried about, you know, his dude calling his dude out on defense. He won't be worried about his work ethic, things of that nature. It won't be none of that other nonsense with Kobe Bryant. It'll be just strictly about the basketball. And Kobe could be a handful to deal with, but you're dealing with basketball-related issues. You're not dealing with all this extra celebrity-type stuff that he doesn't have to worry about that. You know, got Odom out of there. Got the Kardashians out. They're out.
Yep.
Still got better world. You got the Kardashians. They're gone. You still got better world peace. But
now, yeah, do you the embassy calls on him? How do you play that one?
I've heard that. I had somebody bring that up. I've heard that could be a possibility because he still has 3 years left on that deal. So
right.
Maybe
if you are a Lakers exec and you look at the tape last year of the embarrassment, and there's a lot of names to go around who did perform, and so far they got two of them already, the biggest two. Now the funny thing about Odom, I think this could be a year that, and this is, you heard it here first, as my father would say, but Odom could be an all-star this year. And I say that because watching Odom's career, he flourishes when he's forced to be the man. When he gets to ride under someone's shadow, he would disappear. Like, for instance, every time the Lakers had an injury, Odom started and he played great. When he was in Miami, he played great. When Odom is forced to step up and be a number one or two even, he shows up. He just likes to hide under the one and two where he could be three or four. So I think he might have a really good year, but I think I would look at the free agents out there, and I would hate to say get another Kardashian. Chris Humphries is interesting. You know, it is a few power forwards that you can get for a good price, I believe. Who knows how much David West is going to cost? Is Chris Paul wanting to come? It's going to be interesting. You know, so I think if you get rid of Ron Artest's contract, you have a lot more flexibility. I think once he changed his name to Meta World Peace, that probably was enough for me personally to say it's been real. You know, maybe it's time to move forward. So I won't be surprised if they do cut the guy. I won't.
Oh, yeah. I won't. I mean, listen, you won a championship with him. You got one championship. So it was like, all right, the deal worked. You know, you can't, not the deal in terms of that they didn't trade Ariza for him, but basically they, you know, picked him up, let Ariza walk. So, I mean, you got a championship out. I don't think you complain about it. He played well. He was a big part of you winning a championship in the playoffs. So, you know, he's 32 years old. He got a million things going on. with the old Metal World Peace and, you know, with trying to make albums, stuff like that. So, you know, they got what they got out of them. So, yeah, MC Claus for him, I could definitely see that. And they move on from that. I was thinking about now who, you know, look at the Western Conference real quick. You know, what is the West going to look like? I mean, is Oklahoma City ready? You know, we don't know about Dallas. The West is all over the place right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think the West is all over the place. It's very interesting because we still know. I think it's just too early to even judge because there's a lot of pieces that still have to move around. I mean, Houston could be very interesting. Do I have any faith in how Kevin McHale could coach? Not really. So I don't know. You know, I like Adelman a lot. I don't know where Houston will be in the mix, but I do know the Oklahoma City, one advantage that they have in a short season, they bring in the same team. So I'm going to count them as I see them as a Western Conference team, as far as the Western Conference finalists. Dallas, I think, honestly, I mean, look, you lose a big edge. What people don't understand about what Tyson Chandler brought, it's kind of like with Dwight Howard from a defense standpoint where he masks your guard's deficiencies on defense. As great as Jason Kidd is as a defender, he's only getting older. He's only getting older.
Yeah, he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, I mean, so when someone gets to the lane now, there's no one there. I mean, I'm not going to knock Hayward. I think Hayward's actually a serviceable big man. He's a backup. You know, and sometimes he plays too emotional and it gets in his head, but they lost a lot with Tyson Chandler. So I think Dallas goes back to a good team. You know, they'll make the playoffs. They'll get, you know, past the first round, but that's about it. You know, Denver, half of their roster in China, you know, with Chandler, J.R. Smith, and Kenyon Martin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They traded Raymond Felton to Portland. I think Portland's interesting, very interesting if they can ever stay healthy. I like Portland a lot.
And on a Portland note, they did resign Greg Oden to a one-year deal. So just that little nugget.
Okay.
A couple other moves to bring up that, you know, kind of got dwarfed by what happened with the Lakers. Caron Butler signs a three-year deal with the Clippers. No surprise. Good pickup if he's recovered from his knee injury. This is the puzzling one, and this is why this franchise is in its current state. Tayshaun Prince stays with Detroit for four years. I don't get it. I just don't get why they – I don't get it. Unless he's playing for free. I just don't.
This is what I have to say. I'm not going to try to analyze from a basketball standpoint. I'm going to put on my psychology hat, and I think Tayshaun Prince suffers from insecurities. I just simply think he just thought that nobody else would want him. There's no other way you stay in a toxic area. I mean, this is the same team where players were boycotting practice just last season. The team is going nowhere. I felt like he took the first offer to someone, looked at him, and ran with it. So it shocked me because I thought Tayshaun Prince was going to be on the market. But, I just think that he saw the money. He said, okay, let's do it. And he didn't want to play basketball. I knock him
a little bit for re-signing with him, but I'm not going to knock him too much because, you know, maybe another team wasn't willing to give him 4 years. My biggest problem is with the Detroit Pistons. Like, why? Like, you've gotten rid of, you know, you don't have Rip Hamilton. You basically traded all the parts from, you know, all the championship team they had and the Pistons with Rasheed Wallace. I mean, I don't understand why keep him. I don't get it.
I agree with you. I think certain teams are going in reverse. I would not be surprised, and I say this not even jokingly, if the Knicks deal goes through, we cut Billups, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up back with Detroit and they might try to get Rasheed Wallace out of retirement. I mean, because clearly they're trying to get that old Magic back. There's no reason you re-sign Tayshaun Prince, you know, for that amount of money, for 4 years. I mean, Tayshaun Prince is one of the players that always looked old even though he's still not the oldest, that 4-year contract is for him is just like, oh man. And this is where a sidebar where we need certain fans to understand that it was not the player's fault. Owners keep giving down contracts. You can't protect them from themselves. I mean, honestly, Caron Butler is getting $8 million a year. He just came off an injury. I just don't get what's going on right now. It's like, have we learned nothing? Like, they couldn't wait to go spend their money. You know, so I'm like, you know, we can sit here and say that it's the players, they're arrogant, they're greedy. But no, maybe we are greedy, but they keep making us these monsters. They keep giving us too money. You know, there's not going to be enough amnesty clauses for these owners. I just don't get how you're giving away money like this. And it's going to continue to be deals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, it's really going to ramp up now. I mean, free agency really is supposed to start tomorrow. The next couple of weeks, this weekend going into next week, you're going to see, like, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. It's on, you know, you're going to see a bunch of moves being made as far as guys getting picked up. Some of the free agents out there were considered to be the best of the best. You have Nene, he's out there with the way he's going. I've heard some talk about that, heard some talk that Denver really does not have an interest in re-signing him.
Okay. What about, I heard Jamal Crawford, because I heard McGrady is signed with the Hawks. So Crawford, I wonder what that means for him. I know he's not necessarily the biggest name out there, but he could help the right team. And David West, I want to know who takes a gamble on him.
Yeah, David West, David West, because a guy who, when healthy, can be, can give you 18 and 9, something like that. So, somebody would take a risk on him. Aaron Afalo is...
I like him a lot.
It's another guy. Yeah, it's another guy that's going to probably get, he's probably going to get $40 to $50 million. There's some teams that can definitely use a quality two guard. Not that many two guards out there. Once you get past the Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, the two guard position is not nowhere near as deep as it once was. The general position is kind of going to the point guard now. So Aaron Fowler, good player, guy who played well with Denver. Get out on what Detroit was thinking when they traded him. They drafted him. So he could definitely help a team out.
And as crazy as it sounds, I'm really interested to see where these amnesty players go. I know I'm hearing Phoenix is going to cut Vince Carter. I know he's not going to make you a title contender. But there's a lot of these. I heard Brandon Roy will probably stay with Portland, but there's a possibility they might use it. So I just want to see Michael Redd, certain players that get cut. I want to see how this new system works where they have like a waiver wire type, like kind of like the NFL, where you can pick the players off with the waiver. I'm just interested to see what pieces, Richard Jefferson is another one getting cut, where these players can end up.
I've heard about not Richard Jefferson, but Vince Carter. And you're going to laugh at this one, that possibly will return to North Carolina and play with Charlotte. They're gonna sell Vince Carter back in North Carolina.
Right.
Overpay him. He ends up, hurt. And Michael Jordan ended up with a bad contract.
Yeah, I mean this is where David Stern, someone needs to step in and take a team from Jordan. At this point it's just ridiculous. I mean, not only is that a waste of money, but then you guys just trade and get Corey McGetty and Vince Carter, and there will be nobody else that can even get the ball to shoot. I just think it's just a waste of time. I think Jordan signing Vince Carter thinking he's going to sell tickets is the same principle and logic he had when he thought that he could get Carmelo Anthony come to play with him just because his name is Michael Jordan. No one's going to care about Michael Jordan's name. No one cares about Vince Carter's name anymore. And the quicker Jordan realizes this, the quicker he can start making some smarter moves. That I hope what you're saying is just talk,
because
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nothing. I don't know how serious it is. There's been some innuendo on a possibility. I mean, obviously, there's nothing concrete to it, but it wouldn't surprise me. it actually wouldn't surprise me. You have Jordan, you know, managing the team, basically, you know, calling, you know, running the team, you know, all, you know, he's all in now. He's basically general manager and owner, so, which is a, you know, a major problem for that franchise. Who knows with them? I mean, you feel sorry for the point guard that they just, that they drafted, you know, won the Final Four MVP from Connecticut. That guy, you know, walking into that situation, I mean, good luck.
Wow. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy year, though. It's definitely going to be a crazy year. So I'm looking forward to it.
How about the schedule? How do you like the schedule? 66 games and basically, you know, 124 days.
Well, that's just insane. It is insane. And the sad thing about this is we know these owners aren't the brightest as it is. Now you force free agency for like a 2-week period. That just makes even more foolish deals happen because that's it, so eager. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting season. The Knicks don't even have a GM, but we're starting off the right way with the deal if it goes through. Like I said, if it doesn't go through, I'm already hearing that Chauncey Billups is highly irate, you know, but that's the nature of the business. So we'll see what happens. I've heard that Dallas has already moved on, so apparently they're looking as though Tyson Chandler is a Knick. I can't wait to just put him on my video game to see how he plays, honestly. I just want to go do that right now because I like that front court a lot.
Yeah, that is a great front court. I mean, that front court, you talk about, all of them will fit their natural positions. I mean, Carmelo, small forward, Stoudemire at the 4, Chandler at the 5. I mean, you have scoring, that front court is, that's one of the best front courts in the league. I mean, they definitely would be up there.
And I hate to put this out there now, but the way this is moving is telling me, it's showing me who's in charge. I feel like as much as I liked the moves we did last year, we did everything D'Antoni wanted to do to a certain degree, meaning we brought in more offense. This is turning into more of a conventional team, like you said, going back to their roles. And I'm saying all this to say that I'll be the first to reopen the rumors, maybe Phil Jackson in 2012 or 2000.
Oh, it's funny how you said that. I told my boss, my boss is a huge Knicks fan. I said, Phil will be coaching the Knicks. I said, there's no question in my mind.
Yeah.
I think he's going to take a year off, spend Montana, Australia, whatever, recharge his batteries. He's going to get bored. And he's coming back. I said, it's a perfect way to end his career. I mean, he doesn't even have to win a championship in New York. He doesn't even have to win a championship.
He'll give him a statue. I mean, he gets the end where he started, and he'll get a very good Knicks team that will be built like he needed to be built. So I just think that it has all the makings for not a D'Antoni run. I feel like if for whatever reason the Knicks are – if we get Tyson Chandler, if we're mediocre, meaning 500 at All-Star break, it's time for D'Antoni to go. It is. Because there's not enough talent in the East Coast where we should just be a 500 team. But not.
No, I think you get Tyson Chandler, you should be 50 to 52 wins. I mean, you should be
easily,
50 wins.
Easily. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That conference. Yeah, absolutely. Top 50 to 52 wins, top 4 in the conference, top 3 in the conference. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Right. So it's really a no win, no lose for me. As a Knicks fan, you did mention I hate D'Antoni. So if we're not playing up to our potential, I don't want to say hate. I really dislike him as a coach. So if we're not playing up to our potential, he has to go. You know, and we'll just see how it plays out. I'm looking forward to it regardless, though. I'm looking forward to it. I hope Tony Douglas comes back healthy and, you know, we got a couple other good role players. We just need to. I heard also the Lakers, and I don't know if you can confirm this, are re-signing Kwame Brown.
I did not hear about that. It's the first time.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I'm hearing they are re-signing Kwame Brown.
He's a defensive presence. I mean, he'll
get
fouled off the bench.
He's a body.
He's a defensive presence. He does block shots. He takes up space. He's athletic. So, he's a presence Alter Bridge. I would take him on. He beat Steel Ratliff. He beat Steel Ratliff. So,
he does beat Steel Ratliff. that was they must always wanted Steel Ratliff when they were kids. But and going back real quick to the Grant Hill deal, it didn't go through yet, but I'm hearing that the Knicks are the front runners only because Grant Hill, he wants to win a championship. He's harder than Phoenix, but he wants to win a championship, or at least contend for one. And with Phoenix supposedly cutting Vince Carter, although they just signed Shannon Brown, they're not going into a direction where they're even trying to be competitive. So that's why they say Grant Hill is leaning towards the Knicks, but we still don't know at this time.
A quick NFL note. For those of you who've been watching the game, Ben Roethlisberger left the game, the Pittsburgh-Cleveland game, on a cart. So I don't know if his foot. Charlie Best is in the game now. They're going at halftime. So that, you know, yikes! If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, they don't know how serious it is. So that's. But he did leave on the. They did put him on the cart. This was about 10, 15 minutes ago. So.
Yeah, and I'm actually watching that game. Prayers are definitely with Big Ben. It didn't look good because he's normally a guy that can walk off and limp off. But
it's an apparent knee injury. So, I mean, who knows? If anybody can come back, if anybody you don't doubt as far as, you know, being able to, if he can walk, he can play. And, this just in, that the deal is on hold. The Chris Paul deal has been put on hold by David Stern. Doesn't mean his deal is stopped, but it's been put on hold by David Stern.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see what transpires with that. I don't know why it would be put on. Maybe all the particulars in the CBA hasn't been figured out. I think the deal's gonna go through, but maybe just that everything. Maybe stuff is just happening too fast.
I agree with you. I think they're doing their due diligence because what makes the deal, because everybody else is saying, well, why are the other deals going through? Well, the Hornets are owned by the NBA. So I think, like you said, they have to make sure that they handle this situation with sensitivity so it doesn't come across shady or anything.
Conspiracy theories, things
right,
like that.
Right. So now this would be terrible if the deal doesn't go through. But we've seen worse. But, you know, I still do ultimately believe that this deal will go through. I don't see why it couldn't go through or why it wouldn't go through. But, like, you know, I think it is just a matter of let's slow down. It's not midnight. You know, like you said, there's a lot of particulars still that need to be ironed out with the CBA. So,
We'll see what happens. It's not like it's a team in this deal that's getting fleeced, you know, so in a way you're giving up treasure for trash. So I don't see what, and I'm sure all three teams did their due diligence as far as the contracts and matching up things of that nature. So I don't see that being the case. I just think the NBA, like you said, is taking precautions here and kind of, seeing the CBA through, in terms of before the season starts.
Right, but I'm reading here, Pau Gasol didn't want to go to Houston, but it didn't matter. She doesn't have a trade clause anyway. So like you said, it's not about a player hold the situation. The only player that would have been able to hold it, that would have been Chris Paul.
Right.
He had no problem signing with the Lakers, so it's not from a player standpoint. I guess we'll find out. You'll find out more about that. Real quick, I want to go back to what, you know, you said about Big Ben, and I say it played that he's okay. I see him limping back, and he looks okay. But on a lighter note, I did start him for my fantasy. I just didn't feel good about the situation, so I'm not happy he got hurt, but I am happy that I didn't start him.
You did not start him.
I did not start him in fantasy football.
It's playoff time. I mean, you got 1 more week to the playoffs, so it's not, you know.
Yeah. Not personal, but you got to look at the matchups. You got to look at the matchups. And playing Cleveland was not looking favorable anyway. So wish you the best, but don't rush back, man. You know, stay home if you got to.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Thanks for joining us. This will be on CyrilGeraldQuinn.com as well as Blog Talk Radio, so you'll be able to hear yourself. And we'll see what happens with the NBA. I'm looking forward to the season start. So that's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quirk Review. We're going to do a little bit of overtime here as we talk about the Chris Paul trade. By the way, again, this just happened right when we were on the air, that the Chris Paul trade hit a snag as far as, you know, NBA holding it up. And, you know, just I think the particulars will be ironed out. I don't see the NBA stopping the trade. I think it's been put on hold to, you know, just to see what, you know, just, you know, they go through all the details. You still have the CBA going through. So I think this deal will eventually go through. Again, no team here got fleeced. All the salaries, you think, added up. So it's not. I would not be worried. I'm not concerned as a Lakers fan. I think the trade will go through. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Quirk Review Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I will see you in a couple on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. as we look ahead towards week number 14 of the NFL season. Also, the Heisman Trophy. Again, you can always find this show at Cyril. You can find the best of this show at CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Follow me at Twitter.com/WilliamGerald or always go to Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn as well. Have a great evening. So long.